Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to go to Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. The responding verses, if you'd be so kind to help me by reading those, and then I'm going to go into the Word today. My subject today I'm going to talk about, he's resurrecting me. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? Saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and the third day rise again." Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Verse 12 together. But Peter rose and went to the tomb, and stooping and down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, in the time that we have, Lord, I pray you give me the opportunity just to share the whole idea, not a concept, Lord God, but the reality of the resurrection, not only for Jesus coming from the dead, but Lord, the resurrection power that is here today to resurrect lives that are in jeopardy. Lord, I pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would just transcend all the things we've experienced in life and bring us to a place of awareness that you're available, that you're here, that you're going to do great things in people's lives. The people who walk through these doors, wondering what their life is going to be about, will walk out these doors today. They'll cleanse, heal, sanctify, deliver. Holy Spirit filled, all those different things we talked about, Lord God, let that be the reality, and we'll give you all the glory, the honor, and praise. So we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus, and all God's people said,
amen.
You may be seated. You know, to celebrate the advent of Easter Resurrection Sunday, we call it Resurrection Sunday. Easter has some connotations that some people struggle with, but the whole idea behind it is it cannot be captured on one day. Matter of fact, I want you to take your finger like this, put it in your chest, say, and repeat after me. He's resurrecting me. What that means is basically there's some things in your life that have been dormant, that have been dead, that God wants to bring alive today. Yes. Things that you thought could never happen, things you thought could would never occur, God's about to do this. Well, the truth, if it were told, is daily experience realized by those who have chosen to subscribe to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and who breathes into their lives in the areas that they thought they would never experience again. It's not over. God's about to do something. Here's my three things we're going to talk about today. Number one, what are you willing to do or not do in order to bring about change you need in your life? You get to decide. Let me move on to number two. Are there questions that you need to resolve about Jesus before you are willing to put your total trust in him? If people are really honest, they're saying, you know, I don't know, resurrection, the whole thing, I don't know about that. Well, let me take you to number three, and then we're going to get started on this whole deal. Does the possibility of experiencing resurrection of things in your life that you thought were dead get your attention? Is there something that you want to revive? Do you want to come alive? Those things that were dead that want to breathe again. Let me take you to just a simple scripture over, I'm just going to use it just as a launching point, John chapter 5. And there's a question that Jesus asked, do you want to get well? Well, when Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, do you want to get well? What a rhetorical question. You've been lying in a particular condition for a long, long time, and he asked him, do you want to get well? Yeah. But I want to ask you the same question. Do you want to get well? I think sometimes we're looking for excuses to stay the way we are. I got a word for that, pitiful. Oh, I got another word for you, pathetic. But Jesus was known to ask questions that were rhetorical. You know, he says, you know, do you want to, he asked him, what's blind man? What's your problem? Obviously, he says, I can't see. Do you want to see? For those of you who don't know the story, real quickly, there's a man, there's this pool of Bethesda. People would lay beside the pool, and the situation was this man had been there for a long period of time. And so Jesus passes by that day. He asks him, do you want to get well? And his first thing, he says, nobody's here to put me in the pool. Everybody gets in there before me. Excuses. We're going to deal with those things today. It's very easy to accept things as normal that we experience if we experience them long enough and strong enough. The other thing about it is change is often very difficult when we assume the role or adopt a lifestyle as our identity. I've always been this way. My family's this way. We've always been losers. I'd add some other words, but they're not as nice. Routine can often override the possibility of renewal. And sometimes we do the same things over and over and over again, and we're not getting any different result. Well, change in our situation can override the supernatural intention of the Spirit if we're bound by bad habits. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to do some things in your life, but your bad habits are keeping that from happening. That wasn't very nice. This is Easter. Jesus is risen. Hallelujah. Well, five behavioral issues cause 80% of health problems. Want to hear what they are? You really don't, but I'm going to tell them anyway. Five things, okay? 80% of health problems are because of this: too much eating, too much drinking, smoking, stress, and not enough exercise. Now, tell me about your problems. Do you want to get well? Well, I know I don't exercise like I should. I know I need to quit such and such and such and such. No, you don't know. You don't know it till you're doing it. And so the question is, do you want to get well? Oh, I got some more stats for you that'll help some of you folks who are skeptics. Some of the things that we are asking the Lord to do could be resolved if we would listen to the Holy Spirit within us. I got another one for you. Here we go. When Jesus asks us a question, he desires to engage us in participating in the process that will make us whole. Now, the story of this fellow is laying by the pool. He'd been there for a long period of time. He offers his excuse, nobody helps me get in the pool. And you know what Jesus said? Get up, pick up your bed, and go home. I need a leg massage. Oh, I'm going to help you today. Jesus is going to help me. If we desire to experience the resurrection, we must be willing to embrace change. That means this. Jesus will allow us to take inventory of the things that we're doing, and he will challenge us to deal with the present state of our existence and evaluate its impact on our life. What does that mean? That Jesus will challenge us to do something that we've never done before in order to experience something that we really desire. We will never find what we want if we're looking for it in the wrong place. You know the song, looking for love in all the wrong places. That's why you got who you got. Don't be looking over there and say, Yeah. Luke 24, 5. I'm going to get better. Right? Watch this. Then as they were afraid, Jesus says this. He said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you expect to change when you're doing the same old thing with the same old dead folk? Pastor, they my homies. Yeah. Our behavioral choices often do not match up with our desired outcome of what we wish to experience in our life or our life to look like. Here's something that'll help you. Some of you people that are, as a matter of fact, we have a few doctors in the house. They can probably verify what I'm about to say. And this is interesting. Many of you have heard of heart bypasses, and people have those things. They have clogged arteries and that type of thing. And they go and they either do a bypass or clean them out or whatever. Fact is, and I got this from a reliable source, that 90% of people who have bypass surgery within 2 years go back to the very things that that caused them to get that bypass in the first place. Doctors, change your diet, do this other type of thing. Mm-mm. That means 9 out of 10 folks go back to the, you know, within 2 years, go back to where they started from. You know what that means? It says, that means 9 out of 10 people would rather die than change. Ooh. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, help me. He is. You're listening today, and before you walk out these doors, you'll have an opportunity to make a change. But you're going to have to hear the truth. Do you want to get well? Do you want to see a difference? Well, when we were seeking Jesus, when they were seeking Jesus, they went to the wrong place. Back to Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6. It says, then as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth, and they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here, but is risen. Remember what he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee. I want you to hone in on me right now. Jesus has been talking to you in a lot of different ways. All through signals in your body, people who have come to you, people have showed compassion, said, I'll be praying for you, and that type of thing. All those things have happened to people here, but the decision is still yours. Do you want to get well? Not do you want to do better, do you want to get well? There's a difference between the two. Today, if we find ourselves seeking Jesus at the cave, what we thought to be our disappointment. In other words, they forgot what Jesus told them, that in 3 days I'm going to arise. And so they went back to the place where they had left him. And if they'd really believed what he said, they wouldn't have gone there. They would have gone someplace else. But we're going back to the familiar places. Oh, yeah, let's go take some spices and let's just anoint the body and this type of thing. And let's go there and mourn. Do not invite me to your pity party. I will not come. If you want to get more rosy, you know, my life is really so bad. People treat me so bad. Nobody likes me. They're always talking about me. I'm not with you. I can't hang with you. I can't do it. Because it says, we must choose to believe what Jesus told us to be true over what we think can be true. What are you doing at the graveside? What are you doing at the tomb? When he said he wasn't going to be there. Ever gone to somebody's house and said, you know, you come over anytime you want. Oh, by the way, if you come over this week, I'm going to be on vacation. He said, I'm going over to their house just in case he didn't go. Can you help me with that? They done told you, I'm not going to be there. Well, you know, they might have changed their mind. You folks are different. See, I didn't say nothing bad. We must choose to stand upon the words of the Lord. Luke 24, 8 says, the Bible says, and they remembered his words. But who knew when they remembered his words? When they saw an empty tomb. how much emptiness do you have to go through before you start believing Jesus for what he said? Come on, work with me, people. How many false trips are you going to take before you start believing the word of God? God says, you're not going to find happiness in the club, and you're still going. Oh, I'll get to your place in a minute. Well, he talked about the club, man. He talked about it. Okay, I'm coming after you. 24-hour fitness. You ain't put on an inch of muscle. But you've been hooking up. Work me. I'm going to tell the truth today. Jesus. I want to tell you this. One person told me this. Don't doubt in the darkness what Jesus showed you in the light. When the darkness comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against it. Let me hasten on. I got to tell you another story real quickly. Resurrection of life can only occur when we are willing to do what our flesh does not want to. Got to go to the Old Testament for this story. It's a great story. Now, Naaman, commander of the army of the Syrian, king of Syria, he was great, an honorable man in the eyes of his master because by him, the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. Let's stop right there just for a moment. He's a great guy, a man of valor, but he's got a problem. He's a leper. I don't care how great you are, that you're as great as the one illness that's in your body that labels you as being not so great. That one thing that's still a part of your life. And so, anyway, and Elisha, he's a prophet, comes along. And of course, the mess of the story in there, this little servant girl says, there's this guy named Elijah, and Elisha, and he can help you. And so they send a messenger to him. And so Elisha comes to the scene. And this is, we'll pick up the story about verse 10. It says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Now you can imagine this guy. He's the head guy. People kind of revere him. He says, so go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and you're going to be clean. Now you got leprosy, right? And so that seems maybe not your favorite thing to do, but let's find out how he responds. But Naaman became furious and went and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the Lord, or on the name of the Lord his God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. You already got to figure out how you're going to get well. Jesus is not interested in your way of doing things. Whatever it takes, God wants to do it in your life. And there's one thing that doesn't work well. It's called P-R-I-D-E. Well, let's see here how we can work with this. Let's go on to verse 14. Did we get to 14? Yeah, here we go. So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. I skipped some things in between because I don't have a whole lot of time today. But what happened was, in between that story, before he decides to take the little dip, the servant girl kind of comes and says, Master, you got leprosy, and all he told you to do was just go down and dip in the Jordan River. And his first thought was, that nasty, dirty Jordan River, what can it do for me? Heal you. There are some places you don't want to go. There's some places you don't want to, people you don't want to see and this type of thing. But God's got a prescription for you. And if you don't do it his way, you can stay just like you are. God is under no obligation to change the rules to make you feel good. Well, here we go. Some miracles take tough love. Some miracles take time. Some miracles take extra effort. But you know what? They're all miracles. God will work a miracle and it'll be in his time frame. It'll be no less of a miracle than if it happened instantaneously. The question is, do you want to get well? Are you willing to trust God in his timing to work this thing out in your life so you can be all that he's intended for you to be? I need to tell some people sitting in this room today, today is your day for God to work something in your life because he brought you here this morning. Well, we cannot expect Jesus to do the supernatural if we're not willing to do the natural. Oh God, just take the desire to sin away. Oh God, you know, we give God all these times. Well, if you don't want me to go, help me not to find my keys. I'm not going to ask how many of you prayed it, but somebody in here prayed that prayer. And you know what happened? You still found your keys, and guess where you went? Somebody waved at me. I said, I get you. I got you, girl. Because we get hemmed up on these different things to God to keep you from sinning. If your sin is in your heart and you will to do it, you're going to do it. But God is going to help you today to get rid of the want to in exchange for his will for your life. Well, Naaman had to confront pride in his heart. And so the issue that we find is he was willing to visit a place of his deepest disappointment, obviously. But Naaman had to confront pride in his heart that prevented him from experiencing resurrection in his life. Your resurrection may not come in the manner which you thought it would. Your resurrection may not come through an agent that we thought it would. Sometimes your kids can straighten you out. But mama, you said. But daddy, you said that wasn't no good for you. Shut up. Leave me alone. I'm your elder. No, you're stupid. You're a bad example. And your folks are following you on your glory little ride to hell because you won't change your mind. It's time to change some stuff. Help me, Jesus. We must be willing to do whatever it takes to bring about our complete transformation. We will only experience the resurrection of our life on God's terms. You cannot resurrect what hasn't died. Wow. See, you got all your little stuff on life support. God, you won't buy drugs, you just get them from a friend. Ooh, I know I touched somebody with that one. Oh, I don't buy drugs. I just have a friend, he just comes by and leave me a little something when I get a little nervous. So somehow that's not taking drugs. These were given to me. Jesus! No. When you're willing to do whatever it takes to receive what you truly want, you will find the new identity the Lord has always wanted you to have. And Naaman discovered the true God once he followed the instructions necessary to be healed. In just a few moments, I'm going to give you some instructions of how to get saved. I don't even know how to get saved. I know how to get saved. I'm just not ready. You're ready and God's ready better coincide at some point. Because there's a day when it'll be too late. I'm just not ready to give my life over to Jesus. There's some things I want to do. Help us, Jesus. Got to take you one other little place, and I'm just about done. We must personally experience the power of the resurrection. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. This I hope, will get into your spirit, because we're resurrecting you. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. If you're not willing to lose everything for Jesus, stay where you're at. What? You're supposed to woo me into this. You're supposed to give me the package of what I get. Keep reading. For whom I have suffered the loss of, read that for me, please. If you're not really ready to give it all up, stay where you're at. Enjoy the misery. Suffer the loss of all things. Well, what about this? And count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that is from God by faith. I want to offer, according to the word of God, a new life to everyone that says, you know, not just because your life isn't, you know, it's not working, because today probably is doing pretty good. But consider these things. The resurrection of Jesus is the axis around which everything in life revolves. Jesus will raise our dreams from the dead. I don't think there's anything worse than a dream dying that you thought it'll never happen, and reinforcement to that particular effect. I want to install some faith in you today. My wife gave me this little illustration. She was reading a book, and I think it works really well at this point. It was in the afternoon one day, and a man was walking around the ballpark, and he happened to get to the dugout of this one particular little team. He goes, well, how's things going? And he says, how's the game going? The kid says, well, the other team has 18, and we have 0. He says, oh, you must feel pretty bad about that. He says, you must be pretty depressed. He says, oh no, we haven't got up to bat yet. You haven't got up to bat yet. I don't care how bad it's been. For once the Holy Spirit gets into your life, it doesn't matter what the score is now. Because God's going to equip you for whatever comes ahead, and the devil, you're going to leave him behind. See, you're sitting there all depressed. I never want anything in my life. I never think I've ever succeeded in my life. Give your heart over to Jesus, and I'll tell you, this is the best day of your life. And from this point on, things are going to change. A little story, a little girl, she's riding in a plane, and she's playing with her dolls and this type of thing, and all of a sudden it hits this turbulence, and the turbulence, this plane's going up and down, and everybody's like, oh! And she's over there, she's just playing with her dolls and this other type of thing. And she says, and the fellow leans over and says, why aren't you concerned? Everybody else is freaking out. She says, my daddy's the pilot of this plane. Doesn't matter how bad it gets, Jesus is a pilot and he's going to take you safely home. You need to change the format of where your confidence is. I want to know, who's piloting your plane? I'm going to quit. One more thing I need to say. Because, see, they got over on my time. I'm not mad. I'm just going to take some of my time. Last scripture for you. John chapter 11, verses 25 through 26. I want to make this statement. By his Spirit, we will rise from the ashes of defeat, because the resurrected King is resurrecting us. It doesn't matter what defeat that you've experienced, what loss has been occurred. Listen to what the scripture says, chapter 11, verse 25, 26. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? He said, where did that come from? When Jesus was visiting with Mary, who had lost her brother. And she's wailing. He says, oh, Jesus, if you've been here, when the die, I just die everything. But I know the resurrection. He says, Now the resurrection, I'll see me. She said, hold on. He said, hold on, girl. Hold on. I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to read what it says. And he says, and he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. I can't guarantee that you say, well, what are you saying, that we're all going to come back? No. But you need to get a hold of the resurrector. Who's going to resurrect the things in you that are, that the enemy has declared dead, and allow the Holy Spirit to resurrect you to new life in Jesus. Okay, I'm pulling the ripcord now. I'm just about done. I don't know how you folks are going to get up here, but here we go. You'll receive new life in Jesus. Though you may have experienced death, you can live again. When you believe in Jesus, he said something there about you shall never die. He said, what's this never die thing? Because the resurrection of Jesus appoints to you the opportunity of really coming to know all that Jesus is about. Jesus is constantly resurrecting you. Some of you, when you walk through these doors this morning, they start talking about, you know, risen, he's risen. You think, really? And then we went on to say some other things. But right now, I want to give you an opportunity. One of the songs they sang was called Come to the Altar. They're going to just reprise a little bit of that. I want every head bowed, every eye closed right now. Everybody. First thing I want to rebuke out of this room is shame. Because a lot of times we'll stay in the place where we are because we're ashamed of what people think and what they think of us and what we're going to do. I want to break off shame off you right now.
Yes, Lord.
Because oftentimes the enemy will cause you to think that the evaluation of other people should control your life, what they think about you. I want to tell you what Jesus thinks about you. Jesus loves you. And this altar, as we call it, when we invite you to come to it, it's really a place of decision. He says, you know, I'm willing to lay my life on this altar and let Jesus resurrect it. I'm going to pray a prayer. At the end of my prayer, I'm going to speak life into some people that are in this room that would say, you know, Pastor, when I came through these doors this morning, I came because it was Easter Sunday. I came, someone invited me. But right now, in this moment, in my heart, I need resurrection. I need renewed hope. I need forgiveness for a lot of things. And if this Jesus you're talking about is the one who can do it, that's who I need. Father, in the name of Jesus, make yourself real. Even more real than it was the day that those went to the tomb looking for you and didn't find you there. And so the angel had to remind them, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's risen, as he said. Jesus is making a promise. I'm going to speak life into you right now. Listen to me carefully, your head's bowed and your eyes closed. The hurt, the pain, the mistakes, the desire to belong to Jesus can be realized in the next few moments. I want you to think about that for a moment, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want to get well? May I modify that question? Do you want to be saved and really have to never worry about, you'll never die because you'll have eternal life for the rest of eternity? If that's what you want, if you want your life redeemed, every person that wants it, I want you to lift your hand right now. Lift it up high where I can see it. Lift it up high. Leave it up there just for a moment because I want to make the devil real mad. Some of you folks up in the balcony, Holy Spirit's up there. If you want the Holy Spirit to touch your life, I want you to lift your hand up there as well, because Jesus is up there. That's right. Thank you. Put your hands down. Now I want you to defy the devil, because he's a liar. He's kept you captive to the death of situations for so long. Today it ends. And we're all going to stand in just a moment. We're going to sing the song, Come to the Altar. And I want everywhere, from the back of this building, from the balcony, wherever you are, I want you to make your way to this altar. And we want to pray with you. And I guarantee you, you will leave here a different person. Others of you that have fallen away from Jesus says, you know, this is an opportunity for me to get my life back on track. You're absolutely correct. And so Jesus is here to do all that for you. Everyone stand to your feet. Those of you lifting your hands, make your way down this altar right now. Come right now in Jesus' name. Come. Come right now in Jesus' name. That's right. Come.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.